This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 20th episode already. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts and I've been developing software for over 18 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running the Dutch CocoaHeads for over 7 years. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences and events you might not have heard about otherwise. In this episode, I'm going to talk about GraphQL in Swift, custom HUDs in Swift UI, how to create a zip file on iOS using Swift without third-party dependencies, corner radius, shadows and borders in Swift, the Swift Weekly Brief newsletter, and finally, async await. I'm still waiting for the results of the interview Sam did. We keep in touch and I try to provide him with any input that he needs. So fingers crossed still and hope for the best. And I must say that Sam has been doing really well and he's picking up on everything that I'm telling him and everything that other people are actually telling him. So great work on Sam's part there. I had a really busy week last week. I did recordings with Nadim, Alan, Charlie and Malin. And this evening, today, I actually had my first epic failure while recording with Adrian Eves. For some reason, the platform that I'm using to record my interviews completely failed on me. So Adrian and I had to reschedule. So hopefully soon I will have like an interview with Adrian available that I can share with you. It's a bit of a setback, but fortunately I have plenty of content that I can share with you. Like on Thursday, I will have an interview with Daniel Jelkert available on my feed. The other day, my wife came into the house and she mentioned casually that the car was making some noises, some strange noises. Not too bad, she said. My wife is the queen of understatement. I took the car for a spin and there's something seriously wrong there. So I brought it to the garage and hopefully the damage is not too bad. But there are worse things that can happen, right? So let's get started. Majid has been doing some investigation into GraphQL and Swift, which is quite interesting because Alan Shapiro has been a guest on my podcast and she's actually the creator of the SDK that Majid is using, which is the Apollo GraphQL SDK. And in his article, Majid provides you with the basics of using GraphQL, what GraphQL actually is as a query language for your API, and what benefits GraphQL can actually bring to you as an app developer on the iOS platform. It's a good introduction and it's a nice overview of why you should consider using GraphQL in one of your next projects. Federico writes about custom HUDs in Swift UI on his 5-star blog. And iOS has always had some kind of a system HUD. And you can see it in time to time in the Mail app and when you toggle your iOS device into silent mode, for example. In his article, Federico actually recreates one of the system HUDs just using plain Swift UI. And it's a nice overview of how you can do specific styling on smaller screen elements and making sure that it actually looks and behaves cool. It's a good overview and it's a nice introduction in what you can do with animations in Swift UI. In a Clubhouse chat, which I can't remember exactly which one it was anymore, Mihaela Miljevic-Jakic actually mentioned that she's on a quest to discover all the APIs available to iOS developers. And due to her remark, this next article actually struck a nerve with me by Robin Kunde about how you can create a zip file on iOS using Swift without third-party dependencies. And it's a quite an interesting read because you go through the code and you think, what's happening with zip files here. And then if you dive deeper into the documentation of specific settings that are being provided to one API call, you actually discover that it's quite a nice way of actually using an NS file coordinator to prepare some content into a zip file. It's quite a detailed deep dive on a very specific topic in the foundation library, but nonetheless, it's a fun read to actually see how Robin actually explains how this API is available and how you should use it. The specific option that you're looking for is called for uploading. Robert Pieta has an article on corner radius, shadows, and borders in Swift. We all know that rounding corners, adding shadows, and drawing borders are a common way to differentiate UI elements and make an iOS application's design stand out. In his post, Robert presents examples of how to apply a corner radius, a shadow, and a border to a view in Swift. Besides staying on top of a lot of RSS feeds, I also subscribe to a number of newsletters to stay updated on what's happening in the iOS developer ecosystem. One of the newsletters that I'm reading is the Swift Weekly Brief, which was initially started by Jesse Squires, later done by Bas Broek, and now being maintained by Christoph Grinberg. In an offhand conversation, the two of us actually got into the details of what it actually costs to run a newsletter. And in that conversation, I offered to help Christoph by actually hosting the newsletter, because I obviously have a platform available to run a newsletter for my own newsletter. Definitely sign up for that one as well. Because I found MailChimp to be very expensive, I looked into other options and ended up creating a solution for myself with the help of a self-hosted bit of software. And with that, I will be transitioning into the sort of hosting provider for the Swift Weekly Brief in the coming weeks. Have a look at the newsletter that Christoph is creating. Especially the Swift.org content of his newsletter is very concise and gives a good overview of what has happened in the last week related to the Swift.org developments. So that's the proposals, language features that are all in the future for all of us. Also, I wanted to thank Christoph for the trust he has placed in me offering and helping him out. And I look forward to a very useful and fruitful cooperation between the two of us. Link is in the show notes. And with that, I actually mentioned Swift.org. The elephant in the room there is, of course, async await. To get updated on that, I recommend you have a viewing of a video Vincent, Donnie, and Antoine have created on this very specific topic. It will update you on what's currently available, what's in store for us, and how async await will actually help you develop more asynchronous code. This is actually the first video I'm linking to from my podcast. And beware, it's a live recording, so it's an interesting one. And now to wrap things up, I will go into Donnie's Monday morning tweet. It's an interesting one because it seems to be launch week or something. I'm looking at Vasco having his startup app rejected twice, but now it's all about execution. So it seems to be accepted by Apple. Leo G. Dion has had a call with Apple this week to get hard switch accepted. The good news is it is accepted and he has deployed server-side updates over the weekend. Marco is planning on releasing a new data point for the infected app. Filip Nemecek has launched the iOS chat project on his website, in which he interviews by text message certain people from the iOS ecosystem. Eric Lipman is going into Universal Links this week. He's already getting confused by the endless possible ways to declare apps entitlements and to structure the app's site association. Daniel Steinberg is actually working on testing the recipes of his bread book, and he's thinking about writing an app for bakers. I definitely think he should do that. Marius Rakwicz is doing the first public release of the NLBB app, not less but better. David Arve is finishing up version 1.4 of Trending. Giuliano Soria is working on the finishing touches before he launches his own app. So he's really close. And Ryan is adding macOS support to his virtual backgrounds app. And he's also refactoring the Artbox, the app. Tiana Hamilton is in full launch prep mode for the app Under My Roof. Johan Delgado is doing updates to Petulia. Christian Kozarowski yesterday released a new beta for the Mac Catalyst app of his side project called Ether. So there you have it. It's like everybody's releasing something this week, or maybe soon. But it's good to see all these things being created and being made available to the world. And with that, I'd like to sign off and wish you a nice week, and I hope to talk to you next week. As always, if you have any feedback, please contact me on Twitter at appforce1.net. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/leaddeveloper, all one word.